16th chapter of Luke. I'm going to read verses 10 through 18. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much.
And
he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much.
If therefore ye have
not been faithful
in the
unrighteous manner,
who will commit
to your trust
the true riches?
And if ye have not been faithful
in that which
another man's,
who
shall give
you
that which is your
own?
No servant
can serve
two masters.
For either
he will
hate
the one
and love
the other,
or
else
he
will hold to the
one
and despise the
other.
You cannot
serve
God and
mammon.
The Pharisees, who were covetous,
heard
all these things,
and they derided
him.
And he said unto them,
Ye are they
which
justify
yourselves
before men,
but
God
knoweth
your hearts.
For
that which
is
highly esteemed
among
men
is
abomination
in
the sight
of God.
The law
and the
prophets were
until
John.
Since
that time,
the
kingdom
of God
is preached,
and every
man
presses
into
it.
And it is easier
for
heaven
and
earth
to pass
than
the
one tittle
of
the
law
to fail.
Whosoever
putteth away
his wife
and
marrieth
another
committeth
adultery.
Whosoever
marrieth
her
that is
put
away
from
her husband
committeth
adultery.
Thank
you.
I
would like
to
speak
to
the subject
tonight
of,
ye
are
they
which
justify
yourselves
before
men,
but
God knows
your heart.
This
scripture
touches
on
many
things.
First,
the first
of what
we
read
details
to us
the
attitude
of
heart
that
God
would
like
for
every
child
of his
to
have at
all
times.
An
attitude
of
faithfulness
toward
God.
Faithful
in
little,
faithful
in
much.
Faithful
behind
closed
doors
where
no one
knows
anything,
and
likewise
faithful
where
everyone
can see
us publicly.
God
is interested
in
faithful
saints,
and
he
will
reward
the
faithful.
And
so
by
God's grace,
we
must,
everyone
personally,
individually,
see
that
we are
faithful
to God.
See
that
our
loyalties
are
to God
at
all times.
And
so,
the
few
things
that
he said,
they
should
not
have been
offensive
to
the brethren,
the
scribes and
the
Pharisees,
because
of the condition
of their
heart,
found
many
issues
that
they were
not comfortable
with,
because
of the
condition
of their heart.
There's
nothing
wrong
with
the
truth
of God's
word.
Nothing
wrong with
the
precepts
and
the
mandates
and
the
gospel
and
the
godly
inspiration
and
instruction
that
Jesus
gave
out
to
teach
a
man
how to
live
in such a
way
that
he
could be
happiest
than
any
other
way
in
this
time
world.
Man
could
never
find
true
happiness,
true
contentment,
true
peace,
unless
he is
obeying
the word
of God.
Unless
he
is faithful
to God
and
all that
he
has revealed
to
his heart,
that
he
puts
in
action,
that
he
is
a
doer
of
God's
word
to
the
extent
that
as
long
as
he
knows
it's well
between
him and
God,
he
can
face
anything.
Can
face
anything
by
God's
grace.
Because
he
realizes
that
his
strength
comes
from
God.
Sometimes
we
put
too
much
emphasis
and
expect
so
much
of
people.
We expect
them to
do
so
much.
We
expect
them to
make us
happy
and keep
us
happy.
We
expect
them
to
find
for
them
the
easiest
way
in
life.
But
life
is going to
be
full of
troubles
and
sorrows.
It's
just
that
you
are going
to
have
the
blessed
hope
of
not
only
having rest and peace in your soul on this side of eternity, but you can look forward with a real comprehension, with a know-so in your heart, that there will not just be peace in the valley someday, and peace that I have now, but all the peace and the joy that's awaiting me on the other side. Well, I thank God for the hope of the righteous. I thank the Lord that we can look beyond this veil of tears, and we can see unspeakable joy. We see it here to the degree that we do. We have a taste of it. We have an earnest of it through the Holy Ghost. He blesses us and helps us and causes us to see the positive, sunny side of life. The most difficult things that we go through, He'll always reveal to us there's a sunny side of this if you only look. And so I thank God for His goodness and mercy, His dealings to you and His dealings to me. But there are those that go through life justifying their behavior. Doesn't matter what it is. As long as they can find an audience, sometimes of one. They don't have to even have two or three as a witness. That's established. That establishes the truth of God's Word. But they oftentimes seek for a crowd. They seek for others to back them up and support them in something that they are trying to get them to validate about their life. But who can do such a thing if it's not true? Who is it that can uphold something that is not Bible right? Who is it that can uphold something that you know is an abomination to God? Ye are they that justify yourselves before men, because men are the only ones that can justify you. You can't get God to justify you because your heart's not right. God help us. I say many go through life seeking for justification from men. They seek out audiences and they make their special choices of their audience to make certain they get some kind of a backing and validation. But oh, what a waste. What vanity for a man, a woman, or a boy and girl to try to get some man, a man just like you, a man that's going to stand before God just like you. How can that man validate anything about you? God help us. To the extent that you can hold on to it eternally. Now God help us. We validate each other to a certain extent, and as God would have us to. But at the same time, we do not solicit it, and we do not long for it and fish for it, so to speak. There are people that live just that very way. And they make certain that they are surrounded by just the right kind of people that will hold them up, that will keep them in an upright position, physically, so to speak. And to the extent that they do some pretty ridiculous things to try to get the support and get the help that they need to feel good about themselves. So it was with the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, that's pretty slim pickings. When you have God Himself, who is the only one that can justify you, no one else can justify your actions. No one else knows your heart like God does. I'm thinking of Scripture in 17th chapter, Jeremiah, verses perhaps 9 and 10. Yes.
And desperately wicked.
Yes.
Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart.
I know your heart. I know your heart perfectly. You know some things about your heart. And everything you know, you're open before me. And you walk before me with a perfect heart to the extent that you know. But I know things about you that the devil's working on right now. So I want you to be careful. I want you to be watchful. I want you to be prayerful. You know, when we're younger and we have other things in our mind, or the enemy diverts our mind one way or another, and most of the time, if we're looking for the Lord, it's something that we perceive to be something that God would be pleased with. But you know, at the same time, the enemy knows how to come in and trip and overthrow anyone that is seeking for any kind of validation. God help us. So God teaches us. He teaches us to have a single heart, a single mind. He teaches us to have a single eye for everything that pertains to God. The things of this world, they're transitory and they are passing away so fast. They're changing so fast. You can't depend upon anything in this world, in this time world, to hold you up and secure you in the love of God. You're going to have to gender a personal relationship with Him. His word, His truth, is going to have to be strictly obeyed from a heart that's overflowing with the love of God. Because just the knowledge and the understanding of the kind of sacrifice that He made for us should cause us to chagrin. We should be almost embarrassed that the Lord would even look our way. But God does look our way because we have something priceless within us. We have a soul, and it belongs to God. And He is going to tend to that soul if we let Him. My soul is continually in my hand, yet will I not forget thy laws. I don't take charge of my soul. I look at my soul and the things that affect my soul in the vision, in the scope of how God's word and His spirit tends to those things and causes me to have the kind of comprehension that with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, I put myself into it. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm saying this is the attitude and of heart and mind of a child of God. This is what we all have in our heart and mind. We put our whole, everything we have within us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless the name of the Lord because He has blessed us and caused us to have a life we never could have had. He's given us peace and joy and contentment we never could have had we went another type of a way. There's so many seem right ways, we can't even count them anymore. Used to be able to really count the different creeds, so to speak. I have a book that has many of them. But you know, seem like every day there's a break off another one formed here and another one formed there. But you know, I need something that will never change. Which is why I set my hopes in my life, my all in all, upon God and His eternal word of truth. I may not comprehend it all perfectly, but you can rest assured by the grace of God, I have a perfect willingness to do the right thing. And as soon as the Lord gives me a clear understanding, I'll be found doing that by His grace. I mean heaven at any cost, and so do you. So do you. So God help us. We have a chore on our hands. And God is the only one that can be right behind us and support us and give us strength to carry on His plan in our eternal lives. The eternal part of man, God is more concerned about. He's concerned about this mortal man, but He's more concerned about this immortal man. So God help us. I say many, many people are so concerned about the things that don't even matter. Seem like from the song that was sung, I can't get it all together, but it said something about all that matters. I forget what it is. I used to sing and used to hear some. Yes, yes. It will matter but little what I have passed through. You know, we've all had some pretty difficult trials and tests to endure in life. But you know, God's going to have a proven and a tried people.
Yes.
You know, if you think that you're going to get saved and you're going to have a bed of roses, well, you're in for a rude awakening. That's not even realistic. He never promised us a bed of roses. He just promised that He would walk beside you and carry every heavy load. And He's been true to His word. So I'm so grateful for the plan of God's salvation. I'm thankful for the Lord having mercy on my eternal soul. I appreciate His mercy every day. You know, you can't trust in yourself, least of all, trust in yourself. You're the most pitiful thing there is. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? We're the most pitiful thing that there is. What are we doing trusting in ourselves?
God have mercy upon us. Oh, God bless us and encourage us tonight that, number one, we will not justify ourselves before men. You know better than to bring it to God. And so, they seek out an audience of mortals, men, just like you. How did you see me? What did you think about what I said? What do you think about me? What do you think about what I did? What do you think about it? I need to hear from you. I need somebody to bounce this off of. Now, I'm not talking about there are people that we have confidence in them, and we want to hear what they have to say about it. But to seek around for support of men, so to speak, and circumvent God, and you can go straight to God and ask Him, and He can tell you about yourself to the degree that you'll know just what to do to please Him. Because you can't please people. God help us. None of us can please people as much as maybe we would like to. But we can't please people, but we can please God. And God can cause people to be pleased with us as He sees fit. So God help us. You're there to justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for that? All right, I want to read on a few more scriptures. God knoweth your heart. Justify yourselves before men. All right, let me just give you a little quick definition. You know what it means. First of all, I'd like for you to read 1 Chronicles 28:9, if you please. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Yes.
Know thou the God of thy father.
Know Him. Know Him. Get to know Him. Power of His resurrection. Count all things done beside a knowledge of God. To know Him. Count all things as refuse compared to having the knowledge of God. Be willing to pay any price to have the knowledge of God. Be willing also to take up His cross. Experience, fellowship Him in His suffering. Be willing to do that. How are we going to know Him? We just know that He's sitting on the right hand of God now. How did He get there? How did He get there? He was troubled on every side. He was scorned. He was derided, just like frequently He was derided by what was supposed to be theological scholars. People that knew the law, they understood their perspective of it. And they were influencing in every way they could a attitude on the people that was against Christ. In every way that they could. They tried, you could say they were taught, they were antichrist. They were against Him. They were against Christ. And they didn't mind Him knowing about it. They were very bold and very brazen. And they justified their behavior because they were Pharisees. And sometimes because they were Sadducees. Because the real leaders of those in higher positions were Sadducees. And so you had conflict with them, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, all doing their very best to position themselves to be a little higher place than the other. Well, you know, that doesn't work either. Thinking of the song, number 215, the last verse, honors prove a snare. The honors of this world prove a snare. Let us not seek to get honor from men. Let us not seek to have a type of backing and support that's different from the backing and support that you can only get from God. Because, you know, men, well, the scripture teaches us that put our trust, to keep our trust in men, not in princes, not in those in high places, to put your trust in the Lord.
Yes.
That's a wonderful place to put all of your trust. All right, so Solomon, I want you to have the kind of heart that will be amenable to God's word. I want you to have the kind of judgment that is supportive of the word of God. I want you to turn away from anything that will take you off the path that you have set yourself on. Here God gave him such great, wonderful wisdom. And he was a blessing, a great blessing. His fame went abroad. Men and women came from all over the world to come and take notice of him. But after being used of God in such a great way, the enemy took advantage of him in his old age. You know what? There's no time to relax when you get older. And no time to relax. My soul, be on thy guard. How the devil would like to overthrow every precious soul, especially in our old age, and we're real near the gates. Real near. Won't be very long. Well, our life work is ended. However long it is, it won't be very long. How we need to be very, very diligent about our life. If we take note of our thoughts, their attitude, and not let ourselves get by with anything. God help us. We need God to help us to do that. You know, once the Lord has blessed you for so many years, the devil would love for you to settle on your knees and get relaxed. You know, you have the backing, you have people supporting you, you have people that are complimenting you, you know, the devil would like for you to rest on that. But God help us not to ever do that. The closer we get to our eternal home, the more the devil is going to do his very best to overthrow our faith. So may the Lord bless us not to, once at ease, sit down. We can't afford it. We just can't afford it. You know, most of the time, the older we get, and the more of a value we put on our souls and the souls of others. Just see enough in life. Just enough. At every age and season of our life, we've just seen enough to place a higher value on souls. Yeah. To where you realize the Bible's absolutely true. If you gain the whole world and lost your soul, it would be no profit. Lord, have mercy. All right, I wanted to give you a little definition, although you probably have a pretty good idea and understanding. To prove oneself right. That's what it means to justify. To show lawful grounds for an act. And the reason why I did that was, you know, come up with all the words and so forth and so on. And actually it's because I was advised to do it by a minister. You know, people can just twist things and they can rush even the counsel and advice they're giving. Well, I was just really following orders. I was just doing what I was advised to do. Oh, is that what you meant? Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. God help us. God knows our heart. Let us be very careful. You know, let us not let the devil deceive us about ourselves. Let us not allow the devil to deceive us with anything that is not gospel truth. We can't afford it. We just cannot afford it. All right? And let me say this also. For an individual to be justified, we have a scripture, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only way a man really has true peace, is when God justifies him.
Yeah.
That's the only way. The 8th chapter, maybe it's the 33rd verse, you don't just have to read it. It says it is God that justifies. God is the only one that can justify you and I. And it must be because we have faith and confidence in His dealings with us, and we're being obedient to Him, and we act on, or this morning, we act on what God has revealed to our hearts. Just to say we have faith, or we have compassion, or any other virtue that the Lord would have us to say we have it, and we never act on it, well, that's not realistic at all. God help us. Men write books about all these things all the time, and they don't live it. But it means something when we endeavor to live it by the grace of God. So God is the one that can only justify us. He's the only one that can give us peace. A song in our song book, I came to Jesus. I can't think of the name. Yes, yes. What is that something five? It's not 55, is it? No, it's not 55.
149?
Is it 149? Thank you. Would you read a few verses of that? Especially the chorus.
I came and found him guilty.
Yes.
To Jesus, the mighty to save.
Yes.
He took my sins and sorrows.
Yes.
And beauty for
beauty
ashes.
For
ashes
came. Came.
Chorus, peace.
Peace.
Peace. Glorious peace.
Glorious peace.
Like tranquil waters flow.
Yes.
Streaming down over my heart.
Yes.
Made white as the driven snow.
Yes, ma'am. Thank the Lord. Why was there a realization of peace? Because I laid myself. We lay ourselves bare and open before God. Lord, I confess. I confess everything. I confess everything that I did that I knew was wrong. And Lord, also confess to you that whatever took me on that wrong path, I'm wanting to clear that up too. I don't want to leave anything to stumble on as I go through my experience with you. The peace that I have, nothing can purchase it. There are people that would give millions if they could just have a night of peace. Just one day of real peace. But folks, there's only one way we can get it, is know that we're justified. We're justified before God. That He does not blame or put blame and guilt on us. Now, this is not to say you can go through the rest of your life and not be corrected and not be admonished and not be rebuked for something, but you didn't willingly rebel against God or disobey Him, but you can find that we have ways about us that God's not pleased with, and He knows we have those ways, and He'll bring us to a place in our experience that we can see it for ourselves, and then, Lord, I'm so sorry. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you could look on my life and love me so much, knowing I had these faults and these imperfections in my life, and you still worked with me. You still blessed me. You still bestowed your great love upon me, Lord. I don't feel worthy of it. But I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I wouldn't be here if you were not as long-suffering and patient with me, that you hadn't had compassion on me. Lord, I just wouldn't be here because I would have been so discouraged at myself, Lord. Just looking at, Lord, how could I have such a thing on hand? And Lord, I'm testifying being saved and sanctified. How could that happen, Lord? And the Lord helps us to see. Listen, there are many things. I saw this a long time ago, but you were not able to bear it then. But I brought you to the place where you can bear it, and you can allow the Lord through His Spirit to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. And so living for God is all about. God perfects the things about us that we don't see of our own self. But we're talking about a world that sees, they know that what they're living and what they're purporting is not according to the Bible. So one of the things they're doing is just completely discrediting the Bible. Oh, no, That's not even true. No, that doesn't translate that way. Here, I have a translation here, and it'll show you for sure that that's not what the Bible meant. Folks, you know, why after all these years of God blessing your soul through obedience to His Word, why would you want to alter and change your mode of life?
Because someone told you that's not what that scripture meant.
Yeah.
Why would you want to trust that? Why not lay yourself bare before God? Lord, you heard what was told me.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, you know I got a blessing when I obeyed and did what you told me. When I laid that aside, I got such a blessing, such an inspiration. You gave me such courage and boldness. I had more strength to fight the devil. But now, Lord, they're saying I'm just spinning my wheels.
And there's nothing to it at all. What about it, Lord? Just have faith in God.
Yes.
You have faith in God. Yes. If you want to remain the peace, you hold fast. Yes. You hold fast to the things that you've known, that's been revealed to you. You hold fast to those things. Don't turn to the right and to the left. The things that cause you to be saved and sanctified and have victory in your soul, you hold fast to it. Don't allow the enemy to talk you out of anything that has blessed your soul, and the Lord justified you and gave you a realization of a personal relationship with Him. You would damage that. You would risk your relationship with God just to align yourself with a majority of people. Folks, we know of a certainty. The things that are esteemed by men are an abomination with God.
Yeah.
And then doesn't it seem like it's a little out of place that he went on to adultery? Isn't marriage and remarriage esteemed by men today? There was a time when it wasn't. And the scripture says it so very clearly that from the beginning it was not so. That Moses, for the hardness of your heart, suffered you to write a bill of divorcement. And from the beginning it was not so. And now it's just an accepted thing to where ministers taking pulpits and being bishops over a great number of churches have divorced and remarried and are still held in high standing. And you know, that's sad. That's so sad. That has to be an abomination in the eyes of God. Here they are purporting that they are men of the cloth, men of God, men that have a high standing with men, wonderful teaching, wonderful orators, but they're not living the Bible that they preach. How sad. How very, very sad. God has a number of things in the Word of God that are abomination to Him. And we have men that are esteeming those very things today. Ye are they that justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. That which is it highly, greatly esteemed? Highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. There's such a long list of those things. I want to read you a few more scriptures. Job said in the 9th chapter, 19 through 21st verse, this is Job speaking. This is Eliu or one of the other. This is Job talking. If I speak of strength,
he's strong.
I can't compare. I can't compare my strength with his. Now, he's strong. You know, men in his best state, the scripture says it's all together. The strongest, the young man that God calls because he's strong, he's only strong in the strength of God, only in the strength of Christ. All right, did you go on with that, please? Yes.
If I justify myself,
mine own mouth shall condemn me.
If I say
I'm perfect,
they shall also prove me perverse.
Yes, because I have imperfections in me. Who am I going to boast about my perfection before God when tomorrow the Lord will show me something else about myself that I didn't see? Who am I to boast about God giving me power to live the kind of life that He desires for me to live? In me, the scripture says, lieth no good thing. There's only one good, and that's God. And so we know our strength has to come from God. And we understand and know the only way we will stay strong is to maintain our integrity with Him. All right, is that the rest of that? Through the 21st verse? Okay, thank you. Though I'm perfect,
yet would I not know my soul.
That's right. Yes. God help us. If I justify myself, my own mouth is going to condemn me. Because sooner or later, something's going to be said or done in my ignorance, and I'm going to prove myself to be unfruitful. So I can't justify myself. My justification can only come from God and with a witness in my spirit. That's the only way I have peace and rest, is that I know that God doesn't hold me to have knowingly on hand anything that I'm not addressing in the Spirit of God. And so here it is. We are again in a day and an age where men are doing everything they can to uphold their position. We find in the Bible, the third chapter of Genesis, we find Adam and Eve trying to justify themselves. They didn't get very far. Saul in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, he tried to justify himself. And his own words condemned him. And he ended up separated from God. That's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. It's the story of Saul. How he was an humble man at the very first. And then, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was. He became careless. The Lord wouldn't have chosen him if it had been that he couldn't bear the fame and the attention that one gets from the kingship. That wasn't the case. It was just something in him that he needed to conquer. God knows who we are, and he knows what we have on hand. But he also knows unless we humble ourselves before him day and night, that we'll fail just like anybody else. And so, God help us. God encourage us to, I guess my little message, it seems like it's just the same thing all the time. That we just keep ourselves clear before God. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Don't allow the enemy to give you a good feeling because you had success yesterday or the day before that. Don't accept that. Just know of a certainty that God, He gives us encouragement because we need encouragement. But He doesn't want us to rest on it. He doesn't want us to lean on it and live by the good success that we had one day. He wants us to continue to keep our trust in God. The victory is ours if we trust in Him. So as we go on in our experience, we realize that God can make a way for us. No matter what the problem or the situation is before Him, God can carry us through. These are they that justify themselves before men, but God knows their heart. Here we have some of the things that are abomination to God. Abomination is something that is disgusting. Disgust and hatred. That's what abomination, that's just in few words. Things that are disgusting. God hates those things. There are a number of things, and I didn't try to write them all down. There are a number of things that are an abomination in the eyes of God. I think not long ago, someone read maybe in a message, and I think I'd like to have it read, Deuteronomy 18 and 9. Will someone read that?
Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them
that's how it was in the Bible day. That's how it was. I'm sure you know how popular witchcraft is becoming in the world.
Yes.
It's very popular. Not talking about trainer mentality people. We're talking about doctors and lawyers and people in very high positions. And they're lauding it. They're lauding their power. And they're just Satanists, actually. But I guess it puts another light on it. We just call yourself a spiritualist. Or you just... well, they have so many names for evil and wicked things today. But you know, you can see God's heart bleeding for the souls that have allowed the devil to deceive them. You know, for a person to go in that direction somewhere, there's some kind of rebellion against God. Some kind of. Now, I know there are people that were born into certain conditions, and God will give them an opportunity. You open the door somewhere where they can see what they've been taught and what they've been trained and conditioned in is wrong in the eyes of God, and God will make an out for them. But folks, those of us that have been blessed to have been taught and educated in the Word of God and warned, those of us that know better, and then we turn aside from that, that is such a horrible thing in the mind of God. And we are horrified ourselves when we look on the things that are happening. And Deuteronomy has a number of things that have to do with abominations. One of them is in the 25th chapter of the book, 15 and 16. Now you may think, well, that's not much. But you know, he said just an unjust weight. Just having unjust weight, just being dishonest in your dealings with people, he said that's an abomination to him. Just read those two verses, and then Leviticus 18 chapter. We're not going to read it. We're just going to refer to it.
So thou shalt have a perfect and just weight.
Yes.
A perfect and just measure shalt thou have.
Yes.
That thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Yes. So, God puts a label on these things. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, that those 7 things are an abomination before Him. Proud look, and the number of things that they are, if someone feels to read them, you can. But I'm thinking the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus speaks about abominations of men and their men toward members of their family. Men toward men, women toward many women, men and women toward beasts, having an activity with them that is displeasing, the word says it's an abomination. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how many people, how many theologians see it different. It doesn't matter how many politicians see it different. It doesn't matter how many heads of leaders in the evangelical world see it different now, it's still the same in the mind of God.
Yes.
And abomination is just abomination. And we can have no sympathy with things that are abominable in the eyes of God. He didn't make us like that. He made us to be righteous and holy and godly. And so we do not side in any way with those that esteem abominable things. You know, if we could see behind the veil of many people's lives, you know, we'd be completely horrified. We could just see what goes on in some of our neighborhoods. God help us. We would be horrified. What we want to do at all times, by God's grace, is to see to it that our peace comes from an justification by faith, that we are in obedience to God at all times, And that we will not allow the enemy at any time to impose on us anything that is below the standard of God's holy and righteous word. May God bless us and encourage us along the way. May we, each one, not justify ourselves before men. Now, folks, everybody has a propensity to do this, whether you know it or not, or maybe it may not be something you even want to acknowledge, but it's the truth. Everybody has a temptation to justify themselves before people. But wouldn't you rather make certain that you're justified by faith with God and Jesus' righteousness? That's the only way we're righteous and justified, is through Jesus' atonement. Through His blood. Through His workings and dealings with us as we go along through life. You're running for your life, I'm running for mine too. You're doing all you know to do to please Him, I am too, by God's grace. And may God bless us and help us to keep our eyes upon the goal.
Yes.
Ever keep heaven in view. Pray one for another.
Pray for one another that our faith will stand the test. We don't know what we're going to face before we leave here, but we know God can give us what we need to continue to walk on the King's highway. Pray for me that I remain faithful to you.